Welcome to Managed Care Cast, a podcast from the American Journal of Managed Care. My name is Maggie Shaw, Senior Editor with AJMC. To help celebrate and recognize National Minority Health Month, we are bringing you a special month-long podcast series with our strategic alliance partner, UPMC Health Plan. Welcome to our second episode in which we learn all about Freedom House 2.0 and the Pathways to Work program from its very own Dan LaValle, Senior Director of Social Impact with UPMC Health Plan, and Markeisha Jones, a Pathways to Work and Freedom House 2.0 graduate. These programs provide holistic support via social, emotional, and financial incentives that enable program participants to overcome barriers to employment and find jobs within their communities. At their core, they carry on the legacy of the original Freedom House program, which was formed to bring urgently needed emergency medical services to a racially divided Pittsburgh in the 1960s, and of Dr. Peter Safar, known as the father of CPR, who spearheaded the program's EMS training and provided invaluable guidance with the program's founding. Welcome to another episode of Managed Care Cast and our second podcast in our series to celebrate National Minority Health Month with our strategic alliance partner, UPMC Health Plan. Today, we are speaking with Dan LaValle and Markeisha Jones from Freedom House 2.0 and the Pathways to Work program. Dan and Markeisha, please introduce yourselves to our audience.
Markeisha, you go first.
Sure. So my name is Markeisha Jones. I am a community health worker here at the neighborhood center that's located in East Liberty. I have been in my role for almost 2 years now. And I'm also a Freedom House graduate, as mentioned.
Love it. And I'm Dan LaValle. I'm a senior director of our Center for Social Impact at UPMC Health Plan. And I get to, you know, work with Markeisha at the Neighborhood Center as much as I can. And then on other programs like our Pathways to Work program and housing and other supports that we hope to provide to our community. So it's great to be here.
Please tell us more about these wonderful initiatives and the communities they serve.
Sure. Thanks so much, Maggie. It is, it's been an incredible journey. Especially with our Pathways to Work program, you know, it brings me back to the pandemic, honestly. I mean, we had such a dynamic in Pennsylvania and across the country. I mean, one in three of our neighbors were filing jobless claims. And, you know, we at UPMC and at the health plan, we needed to keep providing care for people, of course. And we had 10,000 open jobs. You know, we have almost 100,000 overall employees. We're the largest non-governmental employer in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And for us as a health plan, we're so driven on helping to support our members meet their social needs. And, you know, jobs was it. You know, we had heard during that time and many times in our community that, you know, it was time for us to come out and show up in the community and help people find these wonderful careers that we have, you know, that fit our mission too. You know, so that was something we heard clearly. Of course, the dynamics of people losing jobs, we heard that. And the other piece that we heard was that we needed to develop more training programs that gave people a little bit of supports and training to find their way into a career, you know, at UPMC or at the health plan serving our community, you know. So what we did was twofold. We created a team. We call them our Pathways to Work Dream Makers. They're recruiters that go out with me and others into the community to help people. And we seek people who've had a barrier to work, whether they're out of work for a little while, caring for a loved one at home, have a disability, an education gap, whatever it may be. It was all there to help provide, you know, navigation supports and find a way to a job. And we've really seen, I think, Maggie, that has been such a key for us. We have much better retention numbers for individuals who come through this great program than not. And, you know, that's been a great part of the, you know, the journey, I think, for us. And, you know, leading into where Markeisha was, it helped us find, you know, an ability to partner with the public workforce system, you know, here in Western Pennsylvania and across PA to help bring federal and state dollars in to, you know, build meaningful training programs. And one of those is our Freedom House program, which, you know, called upon the legacy in the 1960s here that helped start emergency medical service across this country, right here in Western Pennsylvania, with an incredible partnership and a training, you know, in the Hill District neighborhood of Pittsburgh. And we wanted to restart that program because, especially during the pandemic and ever since, we needed to make sure that we had community health workers and others who could go, you know, be in communities and could help people access healthcare, you know, in a new way. So that's been the journey. We're hoping to replicate and continue to build this, but it's been incredibly exciting. We hire almost 200 of our own Medicaid members a month, Maggie, and I think that's given us hope that it can continue to be, you know, a better day.
Speaking of this wonderful journey, Markeisha, we would love to learn more about your experiences with Pathways to Work and Freedom House and how both have helped you get to where you are today.
Definitely. So I could definitely speak about going through the Freedom House program. So that was a program that I was referred to by a family member. And I really wanted to get back into trying to be an EMT because that was my main goal. And in the midst of that and starting class, I found out that I was pregnant with my second child and starting to realize that EMT might not be a good fit for me at that moment. So learning more about what Freedom House 2.0 had to offer with the community health worker training and the mentorship that it gave me, it pointed me in the direction of being a community health worker, which better suit my needs as far as with my children and, you know, just broaden my horizon about other options in the healthcare field and, you know, with the health plan as well. So that's the route that I took to be a community health worker. And I'm super thankful that, you know, I had the opportunity to take that route and that I was an accepted candidate, you know, given the work that I put in and the research I did and making sure it was a good fit for me overall as well.
As a community health worker, what does that entail exactly? How do you help the community?
So I help the community on multiple levels with the social determinants of health, whether it's, you know, a medical need, whether it's a social need, if it's a mental need. I really help across the board with anything. So any type of resource, internal, external of UPMC. I help UPMC members and non-UPMC members. So that's not you know, a barrier for them to, you know, stop and, or, you know, coming to find help rather. So I try my best, I try my hardest every day to get people the resources that they need to thrive, whether it's being at home, whether it's getting to work, whether it's getting to a doctor's appointment, or, you know, seeing their PCP, they can come here to at the center, I can come to them and they can do a virtual visit at home. So anything I help with.
A huge part of these programs is that they combine supports on three fronts: social, emotional, and financial. How does integrating these services make your programs stronger and contribute to not only their success, but the success of those you reach out to?
So I find it more, the more we advocate the role of, you know, community health workers and putting ourselves out there and making ourselves known that we're accessible to any and everybody, you know, despite whatever health plan they have, and making us, you know, more viable, we're able to help them with the longevity of their health, their mental health, or, you know, just whatever they need, whether it's utilities, if it's housing, food insecurity. So we really get out there and we push and we try to help people on any type of level, doesn't matter.
Dan, anything to add?
Yeah, you know, May, I think 100%. And to me, the way that these newer trainings that we've tried to put together have tried to combine that and do that in the front end. I think, you know, what Markeisha and some of her colleagues help so much with are helping people get through some of these non-medical barriers, and they help individuals find jobs as well. And I think for us, one of the things that we heard in the community when we were building Freedom House and a number of other training programs is that people needed to be kind of compensated in these training programs. You know, it's very hard to go to a program without having any sort of stipend or anything, especially with other challenges. So that was one thing that we wanted to do. And we're continuing to do that as much as we can as we expand Freedom House, as we look at apprenticeship models that we've built recently here at UPMC in partnership with our state government and local, you know, workforce investment board. We're so grateful for the kind of the local partners in the public workforce system. It's a beautiful example of how the healthcare system and the workforce system can work together. You know, the partners that we've had have helped, you know, individuals in our trainings, you know, meet some of those needs during the training and then kind of, you know, show what that can be, you know, afterwards and in a job. So, you know, I think that's been one of the biggest learnings that we've had, that we can do this all together as long as we're, you know, vulnerable and as long as we, you know, share with each other and have trust. And I think that's something I've taken away from, you know, this, and it gives me quite a bit of hope for how we can do this more.
Speaking of doing more, looking forward, Freedom House recently received a grant of more than $1 million to expand its reach in Allegheny County. What have you been able to achieve with this funding so far, and what are some of your longer term goals?
So, you know, what's actually very exciting is a lot of those dollars are actually to bring the program outside of Allegheny. So we're continuing to build it in, and we're very excited. We're in the middle of a Freedom House class in Erie, Pennsylvania, which is a place where we have many, many Medicaid and other members, and we have a wonderful hospital system that is ready to hire individuals out of this program. We're hosting that in kind of the east side of Erie, a place that has had tremendous need and was hard hit by the pandemic and job loss. So we're excited that class is going right now, and we're really grateful for it to you know, finish up and hopefully do more. We'll be launching a program out in the central Pennsylvania region as well, a place where we've heard again, if we bring some of these programs, just shorter training programs, and get people ready for the roles that they have out there, it's incredibly hopeful for us to continue to do this. We're in the middle of a cohort in the McKeesport neighborhood of Allegheny County, which is kind of in an area very hard hit by steel collapsing years and years ago, and a place where we have members, and it looks a little different than the city of Pittsburgh. So we're trying to adapt and make these programs, Maggie, move to the needs of the community that we're in. You know, so that's been, I think, the best part, and looking at some of the community partners that we have to help us recruit and to help us be there and do this in the right way. That's what we're excited about. And we're hopeful to keep expanding because, you know, we have faith in this model that we can do, as long as we continue to, you know, just, you know, look at it, you know, as with as much trust and hope that we can, you know, together. So it's given me a lot of excitement. We're hoping to do more and honestly take this model and look at other types of roles. We have so many customer service and other jobs that are so integral to our mission and serving our community and making sure people have access to the healthcare and information that they need. Freedom House has taught us what we can do for other jobs, and we're hoping to, you know, turn that into a model, and we think it can be a national model too.
The degree to which you go to learn about your communities and the people you serve is admirable beyond, and I think you could definitely teach a lot of other programs and communities a thing or two.
Well, we'll always commit to showing up, you know, no matter what it is. And you listen and you take it and you do it together. So it's a beautiful journey.
Now, the last question I had for both of you was, what advice do you have for those who may be looking for the training and guidance you provide but aren't sure of where to begin?
So on personal experience, honestly, the only advice that I can really give is no one stops yourself but yourself. So, I mean, just go out there, ask questions. You know, there's never a dumb question. Just get out there. Even if they come to the neighborhood center and they have questions about other programs and not just Freedom House, but, you know, just UPMC overall, I can get them connected to Pathways to Work. You know, and get them connected to the right people or anything. Like, just ask questions, just get out there. And, you know, there's so many programs that can help with resume building and job interviewing and filling out the applications as well. So come see us at the Neighborhood Center. We can definitely help with that.
That's what I was going to say. Just talk to Marquisha. She's right there. She's helping people get through. You know, we have we have an email, you know, pathwaystowork@upmc.edu. Anytime, anywhere. I give out my cell phone all the time. You know, Maggie, we're here. So for us, I think it's, you know, There's no wrong door for anybody interested in these jobs. And we are all, there's, like Marquise said, there's nothing you can't say, nothing you can't ask, and we'll be here. And I guess to anyone who's listening out there that's from a health plan or a health insurance or a, you know, health system, you know, it, there are incredible resources with your local workforce investment boards that, that are, you know, oftentimes we don't work together as public systems. And I think there's tremendous opportunity there. And, you know, with the momentum that we see here in Western Pennsylvania and across Pennsylvania to do this work together. And I would just say, be vulnerable. A lot of this, like Marquise said, started with some of us asking what some might think are dumb questions about how we can work together and build training programs that are meaningful and keep the people that are in the trainings at the center of what we do and how we do it and evolve. And, you know, I think there's a lot out there. So we're always here, you know, as well, no matter what or no matter who. So we're just grateful for the chance to share this.
And we are grateful for you sharing your stories with us today. So thank you very much. For all of us at AJMC, thanks for listening. To learn more about these programs, visit ajmc.com or see the show notes. To get in touch with us, email info@ajmc.com, follow us on X @AJMC_journal, or connect with us on LinkedIn at AJMC-The American Journal of Managed Care. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and rate us.